Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And I believe that as we look at these first three chapters of the Bible, that we're going to see the four grand narratives that make up the Bible. The four grand narratives of the Bible are creation, the fall, redemption, and restoration. Okay? Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Those are the overall arching theme of the Bible. Okay? The overarching story of the Bible starts with God creating, and then there's the fall, and then God sends his Son to redeem, and then one day we know that Christ is going to return again and make all things new. And that's what we call the restoration, when Christ comes for the second time and makes all things new. Okay? So today, if y'all bear with me for 1 minute, here we go. Today we're going to be looking at all four of these. Today we're going to see the story of creation. We're going to look at the beauty of creation, the perfection of creation, of how creation was set up, how God intended the world to be, how God intended man to be. And then we're going to compare that with the fall. And we're going to look at where we're at now in our state. And we're going to look at why the world is like it is today. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look again at the promise of the redemption that God promises in Genesis 3:15. We're going to look at the redemption there. And as we look at the redemption, we're going to look on ahead to that day of restoration when Jesus comes back and makes all things new again. Okay? So today we're going to kind of be, if you want to track with me, today we're going to kind of be on a roller coaster ride, if you will. All right? We're going to start up here with the height of creation, the perfection of creation. Then we're going to dip down and we're going to go down to the low of the fall. And then we're going to end back up at the height of redemption and looking even further ahead to the day of restoration when all things are made new again. Okay? So if you want to track with me today, that's kind of where we're going to be. We're going to be high, low, but we're going to end back up on a high note. Okay? I will be reading Genesis chapters 1 through 3. I've thought about this. I've prayed about it, and I don't think I can summarize what these verses say. They're God's word. We need to hear from God's word. I know it's a lot of scripture reading, but we're going to go through it. And also, just a little side note, I'm reading out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. I know many of you have the NIV, or if you don't have a Bible, take one out of the pew. They are the New King James Versions, I believe. But the wording may be a little bit different. Some of the wording may be a little bit different from what the NIV states. But if you follow along, I think we'll come to the same thing, okay? So Genesis chapter 1, again, I'll be reading Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me and we'll begin. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, 'Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters.' And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, 'Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth.' And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, 'Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens.' So God created great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth.' And there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God rested from his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first river is the Pishon. It is one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave name to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim with a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, your word is perfect, and your word is truth. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for how you begin this book that we call the Bible. Father, how you begin it by showing us your creation and the perfection of your creation. Father God, you are such a loving God. Lord, I pray now that you would remove any self from me. Father, even in my strongest moments, Father, I will fail without you. So, Father, in this time, empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit. Allow your people to only hear truth today, Father. Father God, we need to hear from you. We are needy of you, Father. And we thank you so much that you have given us your word that we can go to, that we can rely on, and that we can live for. So, Father, through this service, through this message, Father, may your name and your name alone be glorified. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. I believe the first thing that we must understand is the creation account. But unfortunately, I fear that many of us have heard the creation account, but far too many of us dismiss it. I think we leave creation out a lot. I think sometimes we just assume creation. But unless we understand the doctrines of creation, unless we have the right picture of how creation was meant to be, of how God created it to be when he spoke it into existence, of how it was perfect in every imaginable way, then we will miss the gravity of the fall. If we don't understand how this world was set up, we will miss the gravity of the fall. Just in reading chapters 1 and 2, as we just read this, you should get this sense of a perfect union between God the Creator and his creation. If you don't, go back and read it. You should get this sense of a perfect union between the two. Chapter 1 of Genesis covers 6 days of creation. And in those 6 days alone, God calls his creation good on 7 different occasions. And the good that God calls it here, I don't think it's the same good that we would say of like, you know, I went and ate lunch the other day and the food was good. It's not that good. I believe when God calls his creation good, he's saying that his creation is complete. When he'd done something, it was complete and it was perfect. Okay? If you will, go back with me to, I'm going to hit a kind of a little overview again of what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of hit a couple verses of chapter 1, a couple verses of chapter 2, then we're going to really get into chapter 3, okay? So turn back to chapter 1 of Genesis, verses 26 and 27, and let's look here a minute at the creation of man. Verses 26 and 27 says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Notice the first thing here is that man was the last of God's creation. God didn't create man first. God created him last. And I believe the reason that God created man last was so that we couldn't look back on it and say, well, you know what? Man had a hand in helping God with creation. But now when we look at creation, when we look at the perfection of creation, who gets all the honor and glory? God does. Because we weren't created yet. God says to Job in Job chapter 38, verse 4, he says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" We weren't here. So God gets all the credit for creation. God gets all the credit for the perfection and the complete unity of creation. We don't. On the flip side of this, if you notice that man being the last of God's creation, when God created man and placed him in the garden, everything else was already done. Man didn't have to do anything. Everything was already there. So when God created Adam, placed him in the garden, Adam opens his eyes and look, everything's before him. This just unimaginable, beautiful place is before Adam. And all he has to do is to take comfort in it because it's there. He doesn't have to do anything. We also see from 26 and 27 that it says we were made in the image of God. And I know that this has been a debated topic. Well, what is the image of God? What does the image of God mean? I actually had to write a paper on this in my Genesis class on what is the image of God. Well, first of all, I don't believe that the image of God is speaking of a physical image. John 4:24 says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I don't think it's talking about a physical image there. But Matthew Henry says that God's image upon man consists in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness. His understanding saw divine things clearly and truly, and there were no errors or mistakes in his knowledge. His will complied readily and universally with the will of God without reluctancy or resistance. So in essence, Adam was created in a perfect union with his creator, just as all of creation was in a perfect union with the creator. So before the fall, which we're going to come to in a minute, before the fall, before Genesis 3, everything that God created is what the scriptures would call a shalom, or peace. Okay? And this peace that they're speaking of here is not the same peace that I think we think of. I think when we think of a time of peace, we think of a time of no war or no conflict, or there just being, you know, everybody says world peace. But the shalom or the peace that the scriptures are referring to here is complete. It's perfect. God's creation, when he established it, was perfect in every imaginable way. And I believe this is what Genesis 1 and 2 paint for us here. They paint this perfect picture of unity and harmony. And folks, I believe today that it's as key for us to understand this. Because I fear that if we don't understand this, we're not going to be able to understand the weight and the gravity of how bad things have gone. I fear that if we don't realize how perfect and great things were, then we could look around and we could say, well, you know what? This world's really not that bad. We could look at the United States of America and we could compare it to another country that's having wars and turmoil and everything else, and we could say, you know, we're really not that bad here. But that's because we're comparing our country to another country. What if we lay our country, what if we lay this world against that of creation? How does it compare? It fails miserably. Even worse, I think we could look around and we could go, you know what? I'm not that bad of a person. If I compare my life to somebody else, I'm not that bad of a person. But folks, I'm going to be honest with you. When I lay my life up against that of what man was created to be, I fail. I fail miserably. So we can't compare ourselves to other people. We can't compare ourselves to this world. If we want to compare ourselves, go back to Genesis 1 and compare ourselves to that. And we will see how far we have fallen. So Genesis 1 and 2 are about this perfect creation that God has established. And I'm going to keep hitting this. If you think I keep saying the same thing over, I do. Because I want you to understand how perfect creation was. That is key for us today. I believe if you turn to Genesis 2:25 is the epitome of this. I think it tells us all about this. Genesis 2:25 says, "And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." Because here we see in Genesis 2:25 that there was no fear, there was no shame, because everything was in harmony. Everything in marriage, everything in creation, everything in life was in perfect harmony, was in a perfect union with the Creator. There was no shame. I once read by a guy that those that had no sin in their conscience might well have no shame in their faces, though they had no clothes to their backs. Think for a moment today of how self-conscious we are of ourselves. We're very self-conscious people. But imagine, if you can, go back and imagine a time when self-consciousness did not exist. Because there was no sin. So we go from Genesis 2:25, which is speaking of there being no sin, no shame, to Genesis 3:1. And if you read these, that is a stark contrast. Genesis 2:25, Genesis 3:1. If you read them, they go 1:2. But that is a stark contrast between these two verses. Some have said that the fall happened the same day as creation. And the reason that they say this is because of the fast transition that Moses, who wrote Genesis, that Moses makes here. He goes from Genesis 2:25 of there being no sin, no shame, to Genesis 3:1, where we're introduced to Satan, and we know what's coming. So some have said that the fall happened the same day as creation. I don't know. And to be honest, I'm going to side with Scriptures here. I believe that Scriptures, in my interpretation of the Scriptures, I believe that Scriptures are silent on this. They don't give us a time, so I'm not going to give you a time. I don't know when it was. It could have been the same day. It could have been a year later. It could have been 10 years later. We don't know.